From time to time, we all need to be re-energized. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shows us how to reignite our passion for God.
If you've been feeling like just quitting the race, I want to encourage you to restart the race. I want to encourage you today to just keep on keeping on. I don't care who the governor, who the president, who the boss. It doesn't matter what's going on. As long as Jesus is on the course, we can make it to the end. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Life can get busy. Responsibilities, relationship pressures, and schedule challenges can all feel overwhelming. Sometimes we just need to pause, evaluate, and start again fresh. In our series, Reignite, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants to transform through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have ever felt stuck or powerless to change your environment, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Reignite Your Race.
We've got to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a whole crowd in this country that is anti-Bible and anti-Christ. And you and I are called to fight a spiritual warfare. No man that warreth, notice the next word, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now the word expedient means to be free of foot. And then we see in 2 Timothy 2:4 the word entangleth. In other words, no one in battle wants their legs to be entangled. They want to be free of foot so that they can run the race. No one wants to be running their race and suddenly almost fall down because they had barbed wire around their ankles. No one wants to suddenly fall down because they were entangled. And no man that warreth, no one in this room, if you're a serious dad, if you're a serious grandfather, if you're a serious mother and you're running your race and you want to finish your race and you want your children someday to say that they ran a good race, nobody who's serious about the Christian life is going to get entangled up in the weightiness of this world that will trip you up so you don't finish your race. And you're willing to lay anything aside that would hinder you from finishing your race. So God says that we're to lay aside the weights, not necessarily sinful things. I do not know what it might be for you. Everyone has perhaps different weights. It may be a hobby. It may be a friendship. It may be social media. Some people spend excessive amounts of time. They could be reading their Bible. They could be encouraging their spouse. They could be with their children teaching them. But instead, they have this weight, and they spend so much time with this weight that pulls them down sometimes spiritually. So the fact is today, there are many things in this world that are not necessarily wrong, but they can become a weight that keeps us away. We often say this, good, better, best. Good, better, best. And we want to spend our time on the best. But the weights pull us away from that which is the best. And so God says we're to lay aside the weight. And then notice also he says we're to lay aside the sin. Lay aside the weights and lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now how many of you have ever heard of the term a besetting sin? Have you ever heard that? They'll say, oh, alcohol is his besetting sin. Gossip is her besetting sin. Lust is his besetting. It's that sin. It's a besetting sin. The Bible says we're to lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset us. Now, the fact of the matter is that if we're going to run the race, we must set aside the weight. And some of you may have a weight this morning. It's not wrong that you're in that club. It's not wrong that you have that possession. But if that club or that involvement keeps you away from certain things, it can become a weight. I remember when I was a young boy and I was in Little League and I was good too. I was probably headed for a professional contract. I'm not sure, but probably was. I was about maybe in the fifth grade and I was enjoying playing left field and learning how to hit. And suddenly they began scheduling games on Sunday. And my dad said, son, you'll not be in Little League on Sunday. Sunday's the Lord's day. And he said, he felt that if I got so involved in sports on Sunday, that if it kept me away from Sunday school and church, that would be a weight to me. He felt that very strongly, and I'm very thankful that he did. Now, I could have tried to argue with him and tell him, but Dad, it's not a sin to play baseball on Sunday. And I believe theologically at fifth grade, had I known the arguments at fifth grade, I could have possibly shown him that theologically I could still be saved and go to heaven and play baseball on Sunday. It was not a sin, but it was a weight. And you have some things, they're not sins, but they keep you from church. They're not sins, but they keep you from doing the best for Jesus. And I could have argued with my dad, just like when I tried to argue about hair length. You never win these arguments with your dad. Because he said, I'm not going to let you have a weight that would so easily beset you. You see, we don't need less of the Bible. We need more of the Bible. And so we've got to lay aside the weights. We've got to lay aside the sin that would so easily beset us. And some people say, well, that's old school, man. This is too old fashioned. No, it's about as old school as this book right here. And if we'd get back to some dads getting rid of their weight and their sin and getting their boys to love Jesus more than a piece of leather and teaching them how to love God and get to the house of God, we might have revival in this country once again. We'll not have revival as long as everybody around here is trying to run a race like this, and you've got your weight and you've got your sin, and you're saying, boy, it's hard to be a Christian. Yeah, it's hard to be a Christian when you're down at the club. It's hard to be a Christian when you're gossiping. It's hard to be a Christian when you're on the internet 7 hours a day. It's hard to run your race when you're living in sin. That's why God said, lay aside your weight, lay aside your sin, and run the race that's set before you. You see, we've got too many Christians today trying to run a race while they're carrying their weight and their sin. And you just can't win the race when you're carrying weight and sin around. And so God says, I want you to make some decisions. Before you get out on that track, you've got to make some decisions. And if there's something holding you back, you got to lay it down. You got to lay it down so you can run the race for Jesus Christ. Well, there's a second thing I want you to notice, a second principle. And that is that there must be dedication for the race. There must be dedication for the race. Now notice in verse 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now this next point, I'll just preach to myself, and if anyone else wants to listen in, you can. How's that sound? How many of you say, sometimes I need to have more patience in my race? And he says, I want you to run with patience the race that is set before you. Now, notice a few things here. First of all, we must determine to finish the race. Let us run the race. Let us run. Let us move forward. Let us go forward with the race. And by the way, notice it says the race that is set before us. I want you to take note. Everyone's race is distinct to themselves according to God's will. I'm not running your race. You're not running my race. You just run the race that God sets before you, the race that is set before us. 2 Corinthians 10:12, comparing themselves with themselves, they were not wise. Look at, some of you have just been saved. Some of you have had different trials of health and family. And don't get in your lane and look at someone else and say, well, why don't they have this burden? Or why do they have this? Don't compare yourself to the guy in the next lane. Just stay in your lane looking unto Jesus. Us, you see, determine to finish your race. And then secondly, determine with patience. Notice it says, let us run with patience. Now the word patience is an amazing word, and it's an interesting word study. If you look it up in a little Bible dictionary, the Greek words hupo and meno, which mean to remain under, to remain under. Now, in this race, sometimes it's difficult to remain under the rigor and the weight that we have in running the race. Every once in a while, if I'm away and maybe trying to exercise, I might put on some exercise clothes and go out for a jog. And for me, once I get to about the half mile point, it feels like I weigh 1,000 pounds. It feels like my muscles won't move. And about the time I feel that way, some 90 pound lady runs by me at 110 miles an hour. Then there's this 120-pound guy that runs by me. Boy, they're just running and running. And I'm feeling like, man alive, I've got a lot on me. And it's hard to move. And my muscles are tight. And you know what I have to do? I have to patiently plunge along there. I just have to keep going. I have to run with patience the race. And I want you to know today that every one of us in this race need to have patience to run the race that is set before us. Sometimes things will come into our life that we did not expect. Sometimes a trial will come into our life. Sometimes there'll be burdens that we were not expecting. And God says, I want you to run with patience the race that is set before you. It may be something at your job. It may be something that came along and you just weren't ready for it. It may be something about living in California. Sometimes people say, I don't want to remain under the burden of my job or living in California. And I've every once in a while, people say, I'm just tired of this and that. Sometimes it's a strange day in which we live. I understand that. We live in a liberal state with lots of laws, and now we're going through a drought. You know, sometimes there's things that can bother you. Sometimes there's things that change and are difficult. But I'm saying the attitude ought not to be, that's it. I'm going to sell everything I have and move to Idaho and live in a pup tent and buy some canned food and get a shotgun loaded for bear and wait. I don't think that's God's will. God says, I want you to remain under sometimes. I want you to be willing to bear the burden, to run with patience the race that is set before you. And so oftentimes we see young couples, and sometimes we'll see grandmas and grandpas and single adults, and it's just that last thing, and now they're not willing to remain under. And God says, I want you to run with patience the race. Back in 1968 at the Summer Olympics in Mexico, there was closing ceremonies already completed. People were gathering around, kind of shaking hands, and suddenly they overheard the speaker saying, clear the track, clear the track. They heard a siren coming. A motorcycle was leading a runner in. The runner's name was Stephen Akwari. He was from Tanzania. Many, many minutes prior to this, he had fallen in the marathon. Really, it had been more than an hour ago. No one really knew that he was even still in the race. In fact, many had trampled over him and he was injured badly. But he got up and he continued to run his race, and he came across the finish line, and as he came across, he fell with exhaustion. They took him straight to the hospital. The next day, a sports reporter came and they said, why in the world did you even bother to finish the race? There was no way you could have won. And Stephen said, my country did not send me over 11,000 kilometers to start a race. They sent me over 11,000 kilometers to finish the race. This morning, the Bible tells us to consider the end of a thing. I want to challenge some of you men and some of you ladies to consider finishing your race. I want you to get a picture in your mind way down the road. I don't know what that is. Maybe for you it's 101 years old. I don't know what it is. I want you to picture yourself walking into Lancaster Baptist Church with your cane saying, glory to God, glory to God. I want you to picture some children that say, Dad never quit on Jesus. I want you to picture some children that say, Mom never gave up on Jesus. I want you to picture some unsaved friends saying, that guy really must have kept believing on Jesus. I want you to consider the race and be challenged today to run with patience the race that is set before you. It may be a difficulty you're dealing with in your marriage. It may be a difficulty unbeknownst to anyone else in this room. But God sent you here to finish. And Jesus came and finished. And we are challenged to do the same. And so there must be decisions made before the race. There must be dedication made to run with patience the race. Then notice finally this morning, there must be determination in the race. Now, you get on the starting blocks. You lay aside the weight. You lay aside the sin. You come forward and you say, Lord, as of today, I'm no longer going to be friends with those unsaved friends. I'm laying that aside. I'm not going to party with them. I'm laying that sin aside. And Lord, I'm not going to spend 19 hours a week watching soap opera. Help me here. I'm just laying that aside. Now, you can call it a sin or a weight. We can debate that later. But whatever it is, lay it aside, right? And that's why we have the altar call, so we can lay aside sin and wait. And so you've done that. And now you're at the starting track, and you've laid aside the sin and the weight. And you've looked ahead, and you're saying, Lord, help me to run patiently the race. But now I must determine as I'm on this track. And there's two determinations I must make. First, I must have the goal. I must be determined at the goal. Notice our goal, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, please remember this morning. We are not running from something. We are running to someone. Someone says, well, I had a bad experience, and boy, this man left me and the kids, and I'm going to prove to him something. And some young man says, my dad did this to my mom, and I'm going to prove something to him. And their whole life is a reaction against a trial, and they're just proving something that they're going to prove their point, and they're running their whole life from that. God says, I don't want you living your life from that. I want you running to me. Life is not from something else. It's running to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many people live their lives in this reaction, and they're running from a bad experience, and they're running from this, and they're running from that. I heard of a man by the name of Kip Legat. And Bernard Legat is a runner from Kenya. And at the Sydney Olympics, he was interviewed, and they asked him, how do you win so many medals? How have you run so fast all of your life? What has motivated you to be such a great runner? And he said, it's the road signs in Kenya. And specifically the ones that say, beware of the lions. Now that would motivate me to run, amen? But God doesn't want you running from the lions. He wants you running to the Lord. He wants you to look unto Jesus. He wants you to be looking unto Jesus. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. God says, I want you to focus on me. I want to illuminate your life, but you're going to have to focus on me. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, look, my goal is to know him. My goal is to be with him. I'm going to keep my eye on the prize, and that is Jesus. He is my goal. Years ago in Athens, there was a particular race from the Colosseum, and they would light the torches of the runner, and the runner would leave the Colosseum and go out through the city and then come back. And the winner of the race was not the man that entered the Colosseum first. It was the man that entered the Colosseum with his torch lit first. And my friend, it's not enough to be on the track. We must keep our eyes on the Lord and stay in love with the Lord and keep your torch lit for Jesus Christ. Because along the way of this course, someone's going to say, hey, join our motorcycle club, join our club, join this, join that. And it's going to pull you from church and from God and from all these things that I'm saying. My friend, don't just be on the track, be in the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to just stand on the track. I want to run the race. And I want to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says of him, he is the author, the chief leader, the predecessor of our faith. And then notice not only our goal, but notice our example. Notice what it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The word finisher means the perfecter. He is the one who starts. He is the one who finishes. And I don't understand how the Lord did it. The Bible says Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. I don't understand how he was on that cross and how the Roman soldiers placed the nails through his hands and his feet and the spear through his side and the crown of thorns upon his head. And I don't understand how he endured that. But the Bible tells us that he endured the cross, verse 3. He endured the contradiction of sinners. If I would have had the power, I would have said to the angels, take me away. I'm not going to stay. But Jesus didn't do that. He stayed until the very last breath, and he said, it is finished, and he endured the cross. And what the Bible is telling us is this: when you're on your course and you're running this race and you're looking toward Jesus, make sure you focus on him. Because when your friends disappoint you, and because when your spouse doesn't cheer you on, and when everything's not going the way you want it to go, just keep looking to Jesus. He will never disappoint you. Now, I'm thankful I have a godly wife who, in times of trial and difficulty, she'll say, honey, look to Jesus. He's going to get us through it. But you may not have somebody pointing you to him. That's why we need to come to church. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, He is the one who endured. He endured courageously. Why did he do that? He endured the cross, despising the shame. He did that in order that we might be saved. And the Bible says that he did it for our redemption. Jesus Christ paid that price. He became our example. The Bible says in John 4:10, here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sin. You know, Jesus stayed on that cross and Jesus shed his blood so that we could have the forgiveness of our sin. So that we could know that there was a payment made and that we could have access into heaven. And God says, I want you to keep looking to Jesus. And sometimes if you're not careful, you look over here to the gossip and you look over here to the news channel and you look over here to this and over here to that. And some of you this morning, you're on the racetrack, praise God, but you need to focus on Jesus Christ. My son Matt, when he was just a little boy, around 4 or 5, sometimes I'd be real busy and I'd be thinking about this, that, and the next thing, and he'd be talking to me. And if I wasn't paying good enough attention to him, Matt would crawl up into my lap and he'd grab my cheeks like this. He'd say, Dad! He wanted to have my attention. And some of you this morning, you've got your eyes over here on this or that, and some of you this morning need to get your eyes back up to Christ. Some of you this morning need to turn to Jesus and focus on Jesus and recognize that he is now at the right hand of the throne of God. He is there making mediation for us. He is there at the right hand of God. And as I was telling the new believers in the new members class just a moment ago, we don't bring our prayer to a Catholic priest. We can bring our prayer directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me tell you about every priest that ever got into a confessional booth. Let me tell you about every Baptist pastor that ever stood in a pulpit. Let me tell you about every one of these types of ministers. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but there is a great high priest whose name is Jesus Christ, who was tempted in all points like we are, yet he never sinned, and his name is Jesus, and he's at the right hand of God the Father. And when you're having a difficult day on the racetrack and you can look up to him and say, Jesus helps me, and he says, I understand what you're feeling, I've already been there, I was tempted with it all, and keep on running your race. Listen, I may not encourage you, your teacher may not encourage you, but Jesus never fails, my friend. He never fails. And you can look to Jesus as you're on that race, and you can trust him, and he'll bring you through every step of the way. Jesus never fails. And so we thank God today. And yet there must be a determination looking unto Jesus. He is the goal. He is the example. Oh, my friend, this morning, if you've been feeling like just quitting the race, I want to encourage you to restart the race. I want to encourage you today to just keep on keeping on. I don't care who the governor, who the president, who the boss. It doesn't matter what's going on. As long as Jesus is on the course, we can make it to the end. And so I encourage you today, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.